Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Grab your Bibles if you would, please. Hold them up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Samuel, chapter 17. Now, I was thinking about the commercial for Family Night, and I saw the chicken that people were eating, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many chickens have given their lives for the sake of the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? I mean, we owe a lot of debt. This world owes a debt to these chickens. We're in a series entitled Be Awesome. And I'll tell you where it came from. I started it last week, but it came from me watching TV with my mom. Many of you know my mom passed away this last September, but early summer this year, we were able to spend a good, you know, quality time with her. And she loved America's Got Talent. And she watched all of them. And that was kind of like her excitement for the week. Who was going to get voted off and who she was rooting for. How many of you have seen America's Got Talent? Anybody? Yeah, it's a pretty fun show. And as I was watching it, I realized a few things. I realized that this country is interested in and pays attention to and highly values people that do difficult things. Do you believe that? I really believe that. And I saw that in the crowd, and I saw it in how many people would tune in. There's something about these stories of people that overcame great opposition or challenge to be a singer or to be an athlete of some sort. You had amputees that would go and do tremendous things, or you had people that were badly burned that would be able to sing, or people who were even deaf that would be able to play instruments and sing songs and sound just beautiful. And what I noticed was how the audience responded. And in that audience, they were from every walk of life, every people group, every culture, every generation, every financial situation, every faith or background and non-faith is all there in that room. But when someone did something that was impressive, when someone did something that was inspiring, everybody in that room paid attention and stood up on their feet and they would clap because something inside of human beings respects when people do something that's exceptional. Are you understanding that? So the Lord began to speak to me about the church. And I began to think in my heart, I want our generation, I want this world to pay attention to the church. And in years gone by, we might have been able to get away with saying, hey, we're the church, you should listen to us, you should respect us. But how many of you know those days are gone? You don't just look at people and say, hey, we're the church, you should respect us. This culture, no matter where they're coming from, no matter what their belief system currently, or even lack of belief system, I personally believe because they're made in the image of God inside of them, if the church wants them to recognize or pay attention or hear them, then the church needs to start doing those difficult, hard, impressive things, things that create inspiration to get their attention. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not enough just to say, hey, we're the church, you should respect us. How about the church do things that are respectable? It's not that we are the church, you should be impressed by us because we have church on Sunday, but rather, why don't we show you our faith by our good works? Anybody with me on that? Let's do what the 90% won't do. Let's fix problems in this world that no one else knows how to fix, and that'll get some attention. Anybody? Let's go places and meet needs and care about people that others walk by and forget. And you know what? That gets people's attention. Even people who are anti-church, anti-God, there's still something in them, if they were honest with themselves, will pay attention when we start acting and living according to the great work that's done on the inside of us. That's where this series came from, because the truth is, you are awesome. Jesus made an awesome church. When he makes a new creation, it's an awesome new creation. Anybody believe that? Now, the word to be awesome, or the word awesome, means to inspire awe. That's what I want to talk about today, to inspire awe. Now, awe, in its definition, means wonder or admiration or to amaze. I think it's time that the church starts amazing the world again by what it's able to do. For too long, we've only been known by what we say we won't do. Let's start doing some things, amen. And let's make the world wonder and be amazed at all the things we can do that they can't do, because we can access some wisdom they can't access. We can access some power that they cannot access. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so we want to live a life that inspires. That's what the heart of being awesome is all about, to inspire wonder and amazement in other people that they may see God in the works that we do. Now, this is very biblical. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, I'll get to 1 Samuel 17 in a minute. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus speaking in verse 16, he talks to us, his followers, and he says this, "Let your light shine." Now, I want to pause there for a second, put a little pin in that. Boop. Let your light shine. You need to know you have a light on the inside of you and it's ready to shine. If you don't believe there's light in you needing to come out, then you won't intentionally look to light things up. Come on now. When you know there's a light in you, you look for dark places. You see what I'm saying? When you know there's a light in you, you step into a dark place and you say, "I am here to light it up." Man, I think Brock got me excited today. Let your light shine before men. Now, I know we want to be humble and we want to kind of not be noticed, but there's a balance here. We don't want to be noticed for our name to be great. We want to be noticed so that they would call the name of the Lord upon our lives great. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, our motive is pure in this, but my goodness, it's time to stop using the excuse of humility, the excuse of not putting ourselves out there because we don't want to be proud, and to start taking some ground. You can't take ground, you can't advance things, you can't proclaim good news when you're by yourself in a closet somewhere. Yeah. Amen. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. I want to talk to you about good works. Good works are things you do for other people. Are you understanding? And so it's time for us to shine in doing good things, in doing things that inspire others to do good things. And that's the church lighting it up, being awesome. Amen. I have no problem saying you need to be out there so that the world can see you. Because you can't do good works to yourself in your bedroom at home. You understand? That is not the good works Jesus called you to do. Good works is going to be public. Good works is going to be out there. Good works will be seen, but it's not, they don't see you, they see the God in you. Amen. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Because those works you do are so impressive, it could not be done by a mere mortal being. It must be done by a work that God has done on the inside of them. Amen. So I ask you this question about being inspired. Who inspired you in your life and why? Just take 30 seconds to think about that for a minute. All of us have people that have inspired us in our lives. You might want to write them down on your notes. Just a couple names, maybe the top three. People that inspired you in your life and why. I did a Facebook poll about a month ago and I asked that same question. And I was super blessed by the responses. I had dozens and dozens of people comment. And I was surprised, in a way, by some of the comments and some of the reaction, because what I noticed was an absence. That when I asked who's inspired you and why, the absence were famous people. The people that the majority of the people that responded in my poll, the majority of those people were their moms and their dads, brothers and sisters, grandmothers and grandfathers. Workers in a church that no one will ever know their name, but how many know that their name in heaven is great, right? People that prayed for them and stood in the gap for them. People that chased them down when they were hell-bent on destroying their lives. It was interesting to me the absence of rich and famous and powerful people. People that the world would think that's who inspires. And what was also awesome and what blessed me was how when people started to write, how much they wrote. That blessed me. It wasn't like, you know, who's inspired you and why? My dad. He's cool. But it was like they began to unpack and describe, and it seemed like the more they talked about that loved one, the more they talked about that friend, the more they had to say. It was as if it unlocked in them a moment to pause and reflect, and as they reflected, they began to see how this person has affected them in so many great and powerful ways. I think sometimes we fail to do that. We fail to take time and value the people that have been an inspiration to our lives, and then we really analyze it, you can see why, and you begin to let that pour out of your heart. But it blessed me that these individuals didn't necessarily have big platforms, didn't have big bank accounts, didn't necessarily have superhero powers, not all of them, maybe one or two. So what does that tell me? When I actually categorized these things that made people excited or blessed them. You know, you hear things like, my mom who never gave up on me. Or people were impressed or in awe or inspired by their children who had gone through great difficulty of sickness and had been through many surgeries, and their kid had a spirit in them of love, and moms would just pour out their hearts saying, my child inspires me. Or people, like I said, who'd say their parents overcame great financial difficulty, put them through school at their own hurt. Things like that, sacrifice and all this stuff. And so I boiled down all these characteristics into three things that caused people to be inspired. The first one was courage. I saw that in each of these situations, people were courageous. They did things to put themselves second, to help advance somebody else's life that would cause risk in their life. They were courageous. Number two, I saw character. Character impressed people over and over and over again. The character of a mom, the character of a dad, the character of a youth pastor or a pastor, the character of somebody at their workplace that changed their life. And then the final thing in the category was compassion. Great acts of compassion. Those three things basically captured all of the reasons why people lived an inspired life or were inspired by their lives. Courage, character, and compassion. I believe and I desire today that we should aspire to inspire. Aspire to inspire. Now that's a good quote, don't you think? I came up with that myself, thank you very much. I think that's worthy of a coffee mug. Anybody in agreement? Aspire to inspire. Aspire to inspire. Make it your ambition to live a life that other people draw strength from, that other people draw life from. Amen. Are you that person? Let me ask you this question right now. If you met you, would you be inspired or draw life off of meeting you for 30 minutes? Don't raise your hand. But think about that, because that's where we're going. To be awesome, to live a life that inspires amazement and wonder in other people, to let our light shine. If people were to meet you in a normal situation in life, if they were to have a 30-minute meeting with you, would they walk away feeling like they could go take a mountain or conquer the devil? Anybody, right? After talking to you, if they go through tragedy or they go through a circumstance that's difficult, do they call you to say, you know what to say or what to do to help me get up and become an overcomer? You see what I'm saying? We have to take an inventory about how we've been living. I love the fact that when I say we are awesome and we should be awesome, that people are like, yeah, woot, woot. But let's take an inventory here and say, when people meet you, do they leave inspired? Do they draw life? Are you a person that's life-giving? What's coming out of your mouth? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What's coming out of our emotions? What's coming out from the abundance of our heart? But I do want to combat some lies real quick. Because there are some lies that we tell ourselves that I think keep us from letting our light shine, that keep us from living that life of awesome inspiration that we were meant to live. There's two lies. The first one is, I am not impressive. And the second one in this says, the second lie is this, I am not inspirational. I want to speak over you that both of those things are lies from the enemy. If you think that you are not impressive, then you're looking at yourself with the wrong eyes. Look at yourself through the eyes that Jesus looks at you in. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, my friend. You are now, not in the future tense, you are now the body of Christ. Amen? You are now the temple of the Spirit of God. God's very Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You have access to the mind of Christ that no one else has access to. You are filled with gifts and talents and abilities from the Spirit of God. You have access both into the supernatural realm and to the natural realm, and no one else has that access but you, into the heavenlies but you. In the name of Jesus. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty inspirational. Amen? To say that I am not impressive or I am not inspirational, let me use those three categories again. How many of you have the capacity to be courageous? Anybody, raise your hand. I have the capacity to be courageous. Absolutely you do. Many of you already have. You have faced great adversity and you've won. Amen. Now, you might not have made it on the cover of Time magazine, but you've made it onto God's refrigerator. Amen? How many of you have the capacity to live lives of great character? Anybody? Come on. How many of you have the capacity to show great compassion? Anybody? Those are all the things that inspired the people in my poll. And so you might say, well, I'm I'm not inspirational. I'm too old, or I don't have the education, or I'm from the wrong whatever, or I don't have this. Do you understand that everything that causes inspiration, you have the capacity to do? It's a lie in your head that you sit back and say, nobody wants to be inspired by me. Everybody wants to be inspired. And each of us have the capacity to inspire, because each of us can be courageous. Each of us can have lives of character. Each of us can live lives of great compassion. It's about us agreeing with that, understanding we can do it, and start doing it intentionally. And let's start living a life that's awesome and inspiring this world. Amen. Stop believing a lie that says, I am not inspirational. I have nothing of value to give. Those are all things that keep you hidden, and they're all lies. Amen. Now, we may have some work to do. Like I said a minute ago, if you met you right now in this current state that you're in, are you being inspirational? But you know what? You can make a change today. You can start turning off the negativity. You can start turning off the fear, and you can start living a life of courage. Amen. You can start picking up that character where you left off and get started again. You can repent and confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, and you can live from present future. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You can start to serve people and have acts of compassion today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to fast and pray for 40 days. Get up and go serve somebody. Amen. And you can start being an inspiration. When someone starts telling you their dream, you don't try to put out the fire of their passion. You try to say, how can I help this person achieve that dream? Even if it's far reaching right now, they can still take one or two steps forward, and you can help them find those one or two steps. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Maybe you don't know how to give them the full dream, but you can give them some wisdom to get one step further down the road. Amen. Character, courage, compassion. I have some Bible characters that I want to share with you and kind of show you how they've inspired my life. They've been an inspiration. These were my awesome characters. These are the action figure people in the Bible that I would have played with if I had them as a kid. The first one I want to talk about that I believe showed great courage was David. I think most of us love the story of David, especially the story of David and Goliath. Now it brings me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. See, I never forgot where I was going. 1 Samuel 17. Now some of you know this story. Most of you have heard it before in some form or fashion. But basically, I'll give you the recap and then we'll read from the scripture. David was a young boy in his father's house. His dad, Jesse, had a bunch of sons. And the prophet Samuel came over and said, I'm going to anoint one of your sons to be king of Israel. Gather your sons together. And Jesse gathered all of his sons except David. He was out in the field tending sheep. He was one of the youngest. And it was as if everyone forgot about him. Maybe that's where some of you are today. You feel like nobody thinks you're impressive right now. But that's what I'm trying to help you understand. God knows you're impressive, and he knows where you are. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Didn't matter if the world thought he was impressive. Didn't matter if even his dad didn't realize how impressive he was. What matters is what God believed and what David believed about what God believed. Is anybody awake today? What do you believe? Well, my mom and dad didn't give me encouragement. I didn't ask you what your mom and dad believed. I ask you what you believe and what God believes about you. Come on now. And so God wouldn't let Samuel go and let David get forgotten. God will not let you be forgotten. And so he anoints him as king, and then we fast forward in the story. And the first king of Israel's name was Saul. And in the beginning, he was a good king, served God. Then he became selfish and proud. And God was going to pull the kingdom away from him. But King Saul, who was the champion warrior of Israel, I'll get why that's important in a minute. King Saul and all of the people of Israel were being attacked by the nation of the Philistines. They were coming in, and they were contending with them, and they had a champion named Goliath, who was a giant of a man, over 9 feet tall. And he had an idea. He said, rather than all of us kill each other, he said, you send out your champion, and I'm the champion of the Philistines, and I will fight your champion. If I win, you'll be our slaves. If you win, we'll be your slaves, and we'll just call it a day. That's the abbreviated version. Well, Israel was terrified. No one in Israel wanted to fight Goliath. He was huge, and they knew that they wouldn't make it. They knew that they couldn't do it. And so they would stand there day after day, and they would just hurl insults at the children of Israel, intimidating them. And the king and the soldiers just were frozen in their tents, paralyzed to do anything. Now I want to make this point really quickly. The champion of Israel was the king, King Saul. Are you understanding that? And so really what Goliath was asking for was for Saul to come out and fight, but Saul had lost his hope. Saul had lost his confidence because the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul. Are you understanding? And who did the Spirit of the Lord go upon? David. Are you hearing me? So the courage that David's about to talk through, the eyes that David is looking through, he's not looking at himself as one, as just a mere mortal. He is seeing himself as anointed by God. That's what I'm asking you to see right now. Amen. Because, you know, there are kings of our generation that aren't doing their job. Is anybody with me today? There are leaders in culture and society that are not doing their job, but you are the anointed ones now to do it. But it's going to take courage. It's going to take risks. It's going to take you coming out of your comfort zone and going after some difficult giants in this generation. But you know what? That's how you live a life that's awesome. That's how you live a life that inspires. And so now we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31. I'm going to jump to verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, because David was saying, I'll take on Goliath, they told them to Saul, the king, and he sent for David. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistines. You know what I hear when I hear that phrase? Basically, David said, he walked into Saul's tent and he says, have no fear, awesome is here. Do you see, that's the spirit I'm trying to put into us. Because we're living in a day and an age where men's hearts fail them right now in fear of what's going on around them. And so it's time for the church. This is the best time for the church to exist because there's so much opportunity for us to shine. But we have to realize we have a light, but then we've got to let it shine. Don't you remember the little song as a little kid? This little light of mine, I got to let it shine. Now I'm going to challenge that song though. I didn't say this last night, but I challenge that song. You don't have a little light. You have a blazing inferno. Amen? You have a blazing inferno, but you need to see it. And that little song says, won't let Satan it out. Satan can't anything in my life because my fire is not that fragile. Someone say amen. But it's how you see it. Are you going to be courageous? Because if you're going to be courageous, you're going to inspire others to be courageous. And then all of a sudden, a church rises up and starts solving problems in a generation rather than sitting around waiting for Jesus to come. I can't wait for Jesus to come, but I want to be about my Father's business while he comes, not hiding in my church building. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And so David says, have no fear, awesome is here, according to the Kevin version. Then Saul said to him, David, you're not able. But it doesn't matter what the other people believe, especially people who've quit. Come on now. I mean, really, Saul has no right to tell me what I'm able to do, Mr. Quitter. Don't let quitters determine your success. But they always act like they're superior, don't they? They always act like they have something to say. You are not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he's been a warrior since his youth. But David said to him, Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came and took the lamb from the flock. I went out after the lion and the bear, and I attacked him, and I rescued it from their mouth. And then when it rose against me, I seized him by the beard, and I struck him, and I killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. I mean, David was sitting here trying to put courage into Saul. I love that, and that's sometimes what we have to do. It's our faith that other people are drawn from, which goes back to you. Are you living the kind of life that when people meet you, they walk away better? They walk away inspired. David was living an inspirational, awesome life, even to the king. He was trying to get the king to wake up here. You understand? That's who we are. That's how we live a life that inspires. Let's move forward in the story, and we'll go to verse 41. When David attacks, or a Philistine attacks, and David comes out, then the Philistines came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine, this is talking about Goliath, looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. He was ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you would come at me with sticks? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. I love that. I love it because David was saying the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. He said, you're coming to me with a spear and a sword and a javelin. Those are physical weapons. He's saying, I am coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the armies of Israel. His weapons were unseen, but he knew he had them. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands and I will strike you down. I'll remove your head from you. I love David's attitude. It's time for us to get some attitude. You think humility is being all pushed around? No, God's men and women of God knew how to push the devil around. You see what I'm saying? We were not meant to be doormats. You understand? It's when salt loses its saltiness that it's trodden underfoot. But I have not lost my saltiness. It's time for us to get a little salty, church. Come on now. You're not going to walk on me, devil. You're not going to walk on my family. You're not going to walk on my nation. You're not going to walk on my church. But it's going to take people who live a life that's courageous, which, by the way, you already raised your hand and said you have the capacity to do. Don't you go chickening out on us now. You know what happens to chickens in church, right? We just talked about it earlier today. They're delicious. Man, that was funny. Man, inspiration. I set that joke up from the beginning. I didn't even know it was coming. That's awesome. But I want you to see that these courageous individuals, David began to speak to the giant, the word and the will of God. It's time that we start talking back to those troubles, talking back to those giants that taunt us. Too many times we keep our mouths shut for far too long. And if people are going to be inspired by our lives, then they need to hear the word of the Lord coming out of our mouth. Saying things that we know the word has said. David did not physically see the host of heaven, but he knew by faith he was there. And he began to declare what he knew was there by faith. Amen. Amen. So then David begins to taunt him. Verse 48, then it happened that when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. One of the best lines in the Bible. When trouble came running at David, David went running at trouble when everyone else was running away. David put his hand in his bag, took out from it a stone, and he slung it. He struck the Philistine in the forehead, and the stone sank deep into the forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and he killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and he stood over the Philistine and he took the sword from the Philistine, from Goliath, from out of his sheath, and he killed him with it, and he cut off his head and he held it in the air and said, I'll teach you how to get ahead in life. Come on now. Come on now. David was inspiring people. I'll show you how to get ahead in life. David inspires me because he didn't look at his outward appearance, which is why he inspires me, because I believe we should not look or judge ourselves by our outward appearance. He didn't look at his personal physical limitations. He inspires me because he ran towards danger while others ran away. He inspires me because he didn't look for excuses or scapegoats when trouble was there. Amen. He inspires me because he didn't point fingers, but he volunteered to be a solution. He inspires me because his vision was based on the size of his God, not on the size of himself. He inspires me because David knew who he was and how committed his God was to him and to his people. David inspires me because he was able to see beyond a situation into the will of God and live and do the will of God. My next person of scripture, inspirational character for me, someone that I thought was awesome, that I've always drawn strength and inspiration from in the scriptures, was Daniel. David was my first one for courage. And Daniel's always inspired me because of his character. If you go in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 1 and chapter 6, I'm not going to read them all to you, but I want you to know where they are. So maybe this week in your Bible reading time, you can see how Daniel's character made all the difference. Now, Daniel was a young boy when this nation of Babylon came and conquered Israel. And they took the majority of the people back to Babylon as slaves. Now, there were a few top-tier young men that were brought into the king's palace to become wise men, to become counselors in the king's palace. And Daniel was one of those because there looked like there was potential on his life as a young man. And he had three friends that you'll later know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But we won't speak about them right now. But in Daniel chapter 1, here they are in a foreign kingdom, and they're being brought into the king's palace. Now, how many of you know, in a situation like that, it's easy to try to just blend in and to try to go with the flow. You're in a foreign land. You're in a foreign kingdom. Everybody else is living differently. They have different standards. And the king comes in and says, I want you to eat food from my table. I want you to drink my wine. I want you to eat this in particular kind of meat. I want you to start acting like the Babylonians who were not God's people. Are you understanding? But Daniel had been raised differently. Daniel had personal convictions of his eating habits and what he knew his God would be pleased with, things that he was allowed to drink, things that he was allowed to eat. He had a personal character and a personal integrity that was important to him. And so he actually turned to the king's servant and said to him, no. Do you understand how much character and courage is in that statement? You are in the strongest kingdom of the world right now, and the strongest world leader right now just told you, I want you to eat this, do this, act like this, and Daniel said, not going to do it. Now, we can say there's courage in that, but I think it was Daniel. Yes, it's courageous to stick to your morals. It's courageous to stick to your character. You need courage to live a life of character. But I want to highlight his character. Daniel basically said, I am not going to live like Babylon, though everybody else is doing it. It's totally acceptable right now. Matter of fact, I should be blending in, making connections, right? But Daniel said, no, I'm going to live like a man of God. And he was just a young boy here. He wasn't this mature man. But even as a young boy, Daniel said, I'm not going to eat the king's food. Matter of fact, put us to the test. A few months from now, test us. See which group of us is stronger, smarter, and better. And if we outshine those that are living like the king wants them to live, then let us keep living for God the way we want to live for God. He challenged, he threw down. I mean, just like Elijah with the fire that came out of heaven kind of challenge. You understand how much happened here in this situation? That's courage, but it was him saying, no, I will not sell out. I will not live lower than the standards of God on my life. Even though it's acceptable, and maybe that's how you think you're going to be promoted in this culture, in this generation. Where am I going with this, Pastor Kevin? Let me talk to you about this. I mean, too many Christians that change their character based on the environment they find themselves in. That when they're in church, they're all like, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And then when they're at work, they're all like, woo, party, woo. And there's cussing coming out of their mouth and filth and foul and bleep and bleep, 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 bleep. You can write all that now. Gossip. Come on now. Or maybe they're on a business trip. Maybe in this area where they know someone's going to see them, they try to live a little better. But man, if they go to Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens in Babylon stays in Babylon. Daniel didn't follow that. Daniel did not let his character change because he was in Vegas. Are you hearing me? See, these are lives that inspire. Remember, all these people, the polls that I took, they were inspired by people who could stand up for what's right, even though everyone else was doing something else. Even though the opportunity presented itself. There's so many people that their character's awesome until they're invited to live a life of lack of character. Like you think, oh man, my character's great. But in the moment an opportunity to sin comes, the moment opportunity to lower your character comes, that's when you'll know how strong your character is. Amen. And Daniel had that moment. Daniel had that opportunity to change his character. Daniel has always inspired me because he lived a life of character and excellence in the face of opposition, in the face of a whole kingdom that was living differently. Didn't matter how many people were living ungodly, Daniel was going to live for God. That's why he's inspired me by his character. And you go to chapter 6, and you'll realize that in chapter 6, Daniel, years later, this is decades later, is still living in character. That's the other reason I love Daniel, is because his character wasn't something that when he was first saved or his first few years of loving Jesus, he had high standards and high character. I see too many Christians that have really high standards in the early parts of their Christianity, and somehow they begin to talk themselves out of those standards as they get older in Jesus because they've been around a while, and it's almost like they've outgrown some of those convictions. No, you don't outgrow those convictions. Are you hearing me today? I know you're hearing me, even if you're not saying amen, but I'm going to still make you hear me. This is generations later. Daniel has served under repeated kings now. Many kings have come and gone, but the man of character is still standing strong. I love that. And God has promoted him throughout his life because of his character, because God could trust him. Amen. Because he was a person of an excellent spirit. That was a decision Daniel made as a boy, and he held to it as he became a man, and now he became older. And then the people were still, they were always trying to get Daniel. All these other people that lived these other lower standards were always trying to find reasons to accuse Daniel, to knock him down, which is how Daniel ends up in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. Sometimes we know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, but we don't know how he got there. Daniel got there because he was faithful to his convictions. His conviction was to pray to his God 3 times a day. So his adversaries, his enemies, said, let's make a law and deceive the king. By the way, the king liked Daniel, respected him. But let's lie to the king and make him pass a law that somehow tries to test the loyalties of the people, that they are not allowed to ask of any favors of gods or man for the next few days, just to prove their loyalty is only to the king. They made that law specifically knowing Daniel would not bend his character. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes you feel like, I feel persecuted because of my standards. You should. That means you're doing something right. Amen. Now, Daniel didn't snub people. Daniel didn't treat people like he was superior. Daniel was serving people, but he was living higher, and that intimidated people. I'm not asking you to be a Pharisee and sit in there and say, oh, I'm superior because of my holiness. Our holiness is based on Jesus. But our character and those choices, I'm not looking to look down on people because of my choices. These are my choices, and this is the way I want to live my life. I want to live up, not down. I want to live to maximum potential, not minimum expectation. Anybody? Come on now. And so Daniel wouldn't stop praying. And so they found him praying, of course, because of his character. And they threw him in the lion's den for it. And we know that God closed the mouth of the lion, so Daniel was preserved over the evening, over the night. And the next morning, Daniel came out, and the king realized what had happened, and he said, let's take all those people that accused you, and let's throw them in the lion's den. And the Bible says that they were swallowed up before they ever hit the ground. Character. Daniel's life inspires me because of his character. Amen. David, because of his courage. Daniel, obviously courageous, but it was his sticking to his character. How important is your character to you? That you don't lie, that you don't steal, that you honor God and you honor other people. Do you value that character? If you can value that and you can stand in a generation that doesn't value honesty, that doesn't value hard work, that doesn't value God, do you understand how much you will already be a person that gets the attention of other people? You stand out. Amen. I've heard it said as a kid growing up, you don't change the world if you're like it. Then finally, Jesus, which Jesus obviously demonstrates courage, character, but it's his compassion that I wanted to point out today. The Bible, over and over again, in every healing that Jesus did, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Jesus is God. Jesus is King of the universe. I mean, that's awesome, but you want to know why that matters to you? Is because his compassion moved him to come and do something about your hurt and your need. Do you understand? He would always be God. We could have all been obliterated, gone to non-existence, all gone to hell, and it wouldn't have changed his authority or position or glory. You understand that, right? So yes, it's wonderful that he is God. It's wonderful that he is all-powerful. It's wonderful. But what really made him matter to you was that he was moved with compassion and refused to let you die in your sin. That's what made all of that awesomeness matter to you. You hear me? Every healing, every deliverance, every person forgiven of their sins, it's all his compassion. Dying on that cross, it wasn't his awesome power that put him on that cross. It was his compassion that put him on that cross, which makes us all stand in awe. Amen. I'm telling you, compassion. Compassion is impressive. Compassion makes you matter in this world and in people's lives. So I have a personal friendship story. So I have my Bible characters, David, Daniel, and Jesus, but my personal character, a personal experience of people that express this in my life, courage, character, and compassion, were my pastors as a kid growing up, Pastor Sam and Jeannie Mayo. I've talked about them many times because they made such an impression on my life. They inspired my life in so many ways. I witnessed their courage in building their church, in Jeannie being a woman, a pioneering woman evangelist in ministry back in the 80s and in the 90s when that wasn't super popular. I watched them be people of character and courage, but it was their compassion that I saw over and over and over again. I was inspired by them in so many ways. In Pastor Mayo, and talking about his character, here's a man that built a mighty church, 2,000 people, which back then that was big. There wasn't a lot of 10 and 30,000 people churches in the 90s. And here he is. He has a church of 2,000. And I would watch him take the church directory and pray for every single family in that church, because he wasn't a CEO, he was a pastor. And he prayed for everyone by name. And I watched him get there early before anybody, having his time with the Lord because of his character, because of his compassion, because of his courage. I would hear stories, all of us interns at the time, we'd hear these stories of Pastor Mayo, who always wore a suit. We think he was born in a suit and tie. He was cleaning toilets in the church bathroom, and he was stopped by one of the housekeepers saying, "Pastor, we got this, and why are you cleaning the toilets?" And he would say, "I'm just remembering who I am in the middle of a situation." Stories like that would keep us aspiring to be people, and no matter where God took us in ministry, that we would be humble and we would be compassionate and we would be loving and kind, and the way he would try to remember everybody's names and the way he would stand there and shake so many hands. Again, Jeannie, she led a youth group of 1,000 teenagers, which was awesome back in that generation in the 90s. That was huge. But you'd sit there and watch her till 1 in the morning take time to sit and talk to any teenager that wanted her. She'd sit at the altar and have a half an hour conversation with everybody. They would cry and they would snot all over the altar, and she would pray with them and she would listen to every single one till the late hours of the day, or evening, morning, I guess, whatever. Compassion, compassion, compassion. And then what made it all matter to me, right? Here's this big church, here's this big youth group. And I was just a teenager, just a kid, just a little kid from Southern California. And they had all these people to care about, but for some reason, they noticed my family and they noticed me. And throughout my high school years, and even when I was graduating, looking for what God would have me to do, these pastors of this big church, it didn't matter. It wasn't their big church. It wasn't their big ministry. It was them sitting with me in the step of their front of their house. And Jeannie asked me, "What do you want to do with your life?" And I began to share it to her. And she said, "Well, how can I help make that possible?" Do you understand how that's what mattered to me? That's why 20 years later, I still talk about this couple. It's not their big church. It's not their fame. It's not their fortune. It's their character. It was their courage. It was their compassion. Those are the things I take away. There's a lot of people in this world that are famous, but they are not significant in my life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are people that are famous because of their money. They're famous because of their power. They're famous because of their position, and they don't matter to me at all. My life doesn't go up or down based on anything that they do. But it's the people that have demonstrated compassion in my life. You see what I'm saying? They came in and said, "How can I help you become what's in your heart? How can I help you overcome a mountain or a situation you're going through?" Their compassion, or the way they modeled character when so many other people weren't modeling character, but yet they were a rock of love and honesty and compassion, or they did things that were courageous that the majority of the church world weren't doing at that time. That's what I'm trying to help you understand, have all of us see here today, that it's not the big things that make you important. You're important right now. You're invaluable right now. You can be an inspiration right now by practicing those three things. Courage, character, compassion. Let's stand up. You see, being awesome is not about others noticing you, but rather you noticing them and helping them win and helping them overcome. Aspire to inspire. Aspire to inspire. Let me ask you just three closing questions, thought-provoking questions, and we'll pray. Question number one, in what area do you need to be courageous today? Is there any areas right now that you need to be able to move forward and step out and put some risk and some faith on the line to push back on the enemy, to push back in some situations in our society, in our culture, maybe even in your personal family? You know, sometimes having tough conversations with people is the courage that you need to have. You know, you think to yourself, what does Goliath look like today? Goliath looks like anything that tries to intimidate you from doing what you know to do. You don't have a physical person in front of you, a physical giant in front of you. Many of us, it takes so much courage just to have an honest conversation with somebody. Or even just to knock on their door and say, "How can I help?" Or to say, "Would you come with me to church?" It takes a tremendous amount of courage to put yourself out there, but we do it anyway. In what area do you need to be courageous today? Question number two, how is the consistency of your character today? It's personal inventory. How's the consistency of your character today? Is there some things that you might need to repent of or improve? That question isn't to bring guilt. It's meant to bring freedom. It's not meant to point a finger and say, yeah, your character's got an issue. No, praise God, you're in church. And if our character has an issue, this is a great place to be. But we got to get real with ourselves and real with God and say, yeah, I've been lying. I've been deceiving some things. I've been living below the standard and the life I should be living. Doing things in my private times or doing things when I'm away from watching eyes of people that shouldn't be doing. Well, let's confess that before God. Amen. Let's get that right today. And let's let God heal up that character today. And the last question, is there an act of compassion that God has been stirring in your heart? What can you do today to move one step closer to that direction? Some of you, God has been talking to you about visiting somebody in the hospital, and you just keep putting it off. Yeah, I got to get around to do that. Well, do it. Or I'm supposed to call somebody, say this, well, then do it. I'm supposed to bring food over to my neighbor who I know has been struggling, then do it. I'm supposed to pay for a kid to go to kids camp, then do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm supposed to start raising money for a project that God's put on my heart to do something overseas or to do something here locally, then do it. I'm supposed to get on a mission trip, then get on a mission. I'm trying to say is there something in compassion that God has been talking to you about that you've been delaying on? Let's stop delaying and let's start living a life that's awesome. Amen? Let's be an awesome people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you've been speaking to us over the last few weeks as well as the months. We're turning into something. We're being built up to good works. Lord, I pray right now that you help us to have the courage to do what needs to be done. That God, if there's any that are dealing with their character right now and their sins and broken promises towards you or towards others, things that need to be repented of, then we confess our sins right now. Go ahead, take 10 seconds and just start talking to God about it. We confess those sins before you right now. Lord, we're not trying to hide it. We're asking you to forgive us. We're asking you to cleanse us. We're asking you to help our character to be restored. And right now, Lord, if there's any area of compassion that you've been dealing with us, I pray that you would, that God, we would begin to take a step in that direction today. We'd stop putting it off for tomorrow. But Lord, we'd start doing those things that you've been putting in our hearts to love on people and to help people today. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise for his word, would you?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.